When principals pay. Corporate social responsibility and the bottom line. Author, Jeffrey Heal. Are principled behaviour and profitable behaviour intrinsically in conflict? Or can corporations do well and also do good? Media headlines are misleading. While they suggest that companies found it necessary to behave in an unprincipled fashion to make money, the fact is that there is a cost to antisocial corporate behaviour that is felt on a slightly longer timescale than the apparent gains. Headlines never say that stock markets punish companies for their poor environmental behaviour or that socially responsible investment, SRI, funds, avoid investing in companies with poor social records. Capitalism was successful at generating income and economic growth, but often at the expense of the natural environment. Now things are changing. We can see the outline of a new system in which we can enjoy the undoubted benefits of a competitive market economy without the environmental costs. It is a system where consumers, civil society groups and shareholders play an increasing role in shaping the corporate world. It is a system in which principals pay. External costs. External costs are those that fall on everyone in society, like costs of pollution and climate change. They are the costs of an activity that are paid by other people, people who are not responsible for the activity and possibly gain no benefit from it. External costs are an important characteristic of industries where there are conflicts between corporations and society, like the tobacco industry, which imposes external costs on its consumers, their family, and on the healthcare system, and the oil industry, which, like the auto industry, is a driving force behind pollution and greenhouse gas emissions. Conflicts between corporations and society over environmental issues almost always derive from external costs associated with pollution and deforestation. Social, environmental, and financial performance. There are two strands of research on the relationship between a company's social and environmental performance and its financial outcomes. The first strand tries to understand the mechanisms by which social behaviour can affect a company's internal operations and its position in the marketplace. The second strand is based on statistical analysis of the relationship between the ratings of a company's social and environmental performance and the various measures of financial success, such as profits and stock market value. Benefits associated with social and environmental programs include reducing the risk of conflict, reduction of waste, improving relations with regulators, generating brand equity, improved human relations, and employee productivity, and a lower cost of capital. 1. Risk management. One of the most important payoffs to social responsibility is managing the risk of boycotting and legal suits. High-profile companies in potentially controversial areas run a risk of bad press. NGO actions, consumer boycotts, or lawsuits resulting from their actions. As an example, Nike suffered from damaging press and a loss of image as a result of allegations that employees in overseas supplies work with low wages, long hours, and unacceptable health conditions. 2. Waste reduction. Second advantage for good social behaviour is waste reduction. Oil fields usually have natural gas at high pressure over them, and oil companies traditionally burn this producing greenhouse gases on a large scale. Then oil companies discovered that capturing associated gas to prevent its release facilitated its transportation and sale, thus providing a new source of revenue that exceeded the costs of capture. Many companies cannot see the savings available from better management of materials and processes until they focus on their environmental impact. 3. Regulatory protection. The reputation for being green can help oil companies in negotiations for access to potential oil reserves in environmentally sensitive areas. In general, a regulatory decision in favour of a company with a strong reputation for socially responsible behaviour will be greeted more positively than one in favour of a company seen as antisocial in its conduct, and this must influence regulators in their decisions. 4. Brand equity. A product's image can be critical in affecting customers' decisions. Starbucks has found it worthwhile to invest in avoiding conflicts that could damage its reputation. All of these effects testify to the fact that social and environmental policies affect the value of a company's brand. 5. Employee productivity. People seek to work for good companies. They don't like having to justify or excuse their companies to their friends and families. As a result, companies with a good reputation have more success recruiting, maintaining and motivating employees than companies with a poor record. Also, it can be in a company's interest to pay more than is strictly necessary to retain its labour force. Usually, employees work harder if they're paid more, and this contributes both to its bottom line and to developing a reputation for being a good employer and socially responsible. 6. Cost of capital. The more investments are put in a company, the lesser its cost of capital becomes. The right decisions on social and environmental issues may reduce a company's cost of capital through the impact of socially responsible investment, SRI. 7. Pollution and stock market value. Based on the Toxics Release Inventory, TRI, listing, many studies indicate that a good corporate social responsibility, CSR, record is correlated with a superior financial performance. Studies found a significant impact of the release of TRI data on stock prices. Equator principles. For financial institutions, external costs are typically not important and not a source of conflict with society. Banks may finance projects involved in deforestation or polluting energy production and thus indirectly cause external costs. As a consequence, financial organisations and banks faced increasing pressure from socially and environmentally oriented non-governmental organisations and from socially responsible investment funds because of their roles in facilitating environmental damage through project finance and the unfair treatment of some of their clients. In adopting the Equator principles, a bank undertakes to provide loans only to those projects whose sponsors can demonstrate to the satisfaction of the bank their ability and willingness to comply with comprehensive processes aimed at ensuring that projects are developed in a socially responsible manner. Banks are no longer treating environmental and other social issues as peripheral to their business concern, but as essential to managing core credit risk management. Outsourcing. American and European manufacturers commonly carry out much of their production in low-wage countries. This practice is often referred to as outsourcing. It is easy to see what is driving this process: huge wage differentials between industrial and developing countries. Today, many poor countries have modern educational systems and equipment, and wage differences translate into cost differences. It is clear that outsourcing is in many respects to our economic advantage, keeping prices down, raising profits, and helping both consumers and shareholders. Capital markets and prosperity. In the corporate world, capital markets are important to supporting a comfortable lifestyle and to the process of economic growth. Starting a new business or expanding an existing one requires access to capital. In developing countries, however, there is no access to capital market, which can be a serious step in helping them out of poverty. Thus, banks and enterprises started to think of serving poor societies through microfinance or microcredit. Measuring corporate responsibility. Companies are trying to assess and report on their social and environmental performance. They do this in CSR, or sustainability reports, and make them available to consumers, shareholders, employees, government agencies, and NGOs. Of course, there is no legal obligation to publish such reports, no standard format, and no standard set of contents. Actually, there is nothing in its proposals that would accurately measure this in a single bottom line number that represents all three fields: economic, environmental, and social, in which the company may have impacts. There are several factors that tend to reduce the gap between what is good for the corporation and what is in the common good. Boycotts and campaigns aimed at damaging a company's reputation pose a real threat to companies. Many firms have found it in their interest to be environmentally or socially more flexible and benign than is legally mandated.